This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Before we decode more of this proposed new tax code, there's news that employment in October was quite strong again. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We learned today that the unemployment rate in America fell to 4.1% last month, the lowest in nearly 17 years. A separate calculation finds that 261,000 more people were on payrolls in October, and September was revised upward. This is consistent with moderate economic growth. Wages rose, but not as quickly as last month. But not as quickly last month, I should say. Julia Coronado is at Macro Policy Perspectives.
The conundrum is the labor market looks good, but it's still not tight enough to generate a lot of wage growth for workers.
Retail jobs fell by 82,000 in recent months. Manufacturing jobs were up by 29,000, and hiring at food and drink places up by 89,000. Republicans in Congress and the White House see the new GOP tax bill as a powerful engine for boosting the economy and creating more jobs, but there's no guarantee. I spoke this morning to economist Glenn Hubbard, dean of the Columbia Business School and former chair of the George W. Bush's Council of Economic Advisors. Dr. Hubbard, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
What do you make of this difference of opinions among serious economists regarding whether this tax plan will produce a big boost to growth and jobs or it won't? It can't just be politics coloring their different views. You got to agree this is tough to say for certain.
The pieces of the tax bill that are likely to have growth effects are the business tax pieces. So the corporate rate reductions and potential pass-through rate reductions for non-corporate businesses. My own research, my own reading of the literature suggests that it would have growth effects. They're not enough to change the world, but you know, certainly enough overall to raise growth in the 0.3 to 0.5 percentage points per year for a period of time.
There's more of an emphasis under this plan toward taxing the domestic profits of multinationals, and we're moving a little bit away of trying to figure out just what they're doing overseas.
That's true, and we're late to this party. If you look across the OECD, the Club of Industrial Countries, almost all countries have a so-called territorial tax system, and I think it's very important for us to catch up. We have been playing a losing game with corporate capital leaving the United States, and the bill really gets at that.
So you look at this, and can we say this is tax reform? It's certainly a pretty big overhaul that is being proposed.
I think it is the beginning of tax reform. I would call tax reform something that lowers marginal rates substantially in margins that count, like business taxation, and pays for that by broadening the base or some other tax instrument. And it does a bit of that. I would prefer to see a tax system that reduces distortions in the economy even further. And that probably means adding some new tax instrument. Could be a value-added tax, some other kind of tax, and then radically reducing other taxes. That's probably a bridge too far for the Congress right now. So this reform is at least a step in the right direction.
Glenn Hubbard, economist and dean of the Columbia Business School, thank you.
My pleasure.
He mentioned pass-throughs. This is how most businesses are set up in America. Company profits are often taxed at a higher individual tax rate. The GOP wants a 25% tax rate on some of that profit. Our decoding of the proposed tax code continues here as we turn to what's called the alternative minimum tax, which Republicans want to simply get rid of. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is in our Washington Bureau. Nancy, reacquaint us with this AMT thing.
The AMT is supposed to ensure that the wealthy pay at least something in taxes, David. The AMT got its start in 1969 when the outgoing Treasury Secretary in the Johnson administration revealed there were hundreds of millionaires who didn't pay taxes. This, of course, got the attention of the public and Congress, which created the AMT. At first, it was an add-on minimum tax. The version we use today was enacted in 1979.
All right, that's the history. What's become of it now? Who pays?
high earners with lots of deductions pay. They have to calculate their taxes twice, once under the regular IRS rules and once under the AMT rules. They pay whatever amount is higher. The AMT hits a wide swath of upper income taxpayers, and we're not just talking about the yacht and Ferrari crowd. People making, yes, $1 million, but also those in the $200,000 range. The typical AMT tax is around $7,000, but the very wealthy can pay a lot more. In 2005, for example, President Trump paid an additional $31 million in income taxes because of the AMT.
Nancy, thank you. The local news websites Gothamist and DNA Info shut down abruptly yesterday. These were brands that covered local news in New York City, Chicago, D.C., L.A., San Francisco. If you visit the sites now, the news is gone. There's a letter addressing the decision from the CEO, Joe Ricketts. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra, what happened?
Last Thursday, the editorial staffs at the New York editions of these websites voted to join a union, the Writers Guild of America East. 1 week later, yesterday, the CEO, Joe Ricketts, shut all the sites down, laid off more than 100 people, and posted this letter. It doesn't mention the union vote. It says these websites have amassed a big following, more than 15 million visits a month, but that they weren't making enough money. Ricketts founded DNA Info in 2009. He's also the former CEO of TD Ameritrade. And in September, he wrote on his blog that he's against unions at businesses he creates, says they promote an us versus them mentality. Ricketts told employees he'd meet with the Writers Guild. The union says it's looking at potential areas of recourse.
Marielle Segarra. And the credit reporting company Equifax has finished its internal investigation and announced today that four of its executives did not engage in insider trading when they sold Equifax stock a couple days after the company learned internally of a spectacular intrusion by hackers. Equifax says none of the executives knew of the breach at the time of the stock sales. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.